Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Shadow Games by B.L. Dean. Narrated by Sierra Klein. Chapter 1. The roar of the crowd eased tiredness from Finley McGrath's muscles, fed her, filled her with energy, and an overwhelming sense of aliveness. Though only minutes remained in the 2-hour match, she felt great enough to play all day. Down the court, Cartier, her fellow striker, intercepted a pass from the other team. "Blue 17," he shouted. Finley scanned the obstacles filling the court. Each grab ball arena was unique, and this one differed from the familiar layout at home in Cobalt City. She'd spent as much time as possible the last 2 days familiarizing herself with it. The central halfpipe would be perfect. Her heart surged. "Upside down," she called. He nodded. Yes. They were doing it. They'd practiced this maneuver for weeks, but had yet to use it in a game. The fans would love it. She pressed her left foot to gun the thrusters on her hoverboard and accelerated toward the curved ramp, crouching, spun around a defender, dodged a column. This speed was what had earned her the nickname Flash. Her board, designed to hover 2 feet off the ground under normal conditions, zoomed up the halfpipe. Momentum carried her several feet above it. She kicked her legs so the board sailed over her head. Cartier lobbed her the ball. She caught it at the height of her flip, the board above her, head facing the floor. As gravity pulled her toward upright, she used the extra power from the rotation to hurl the ball at the goal. Her speed carried her through another rotation, and she added a twist at the end. The goalkeeper lunged, but the ball sailed past the woman's fingertips. Square goal posts lit up green, and overhead, a bell chimed. Finley clenched core and thigh muscles to bring her board to a stop, hovering in place at the base of the halfpipe. She thrust her arms into the air and whooped. Her teammates cheered. The crowd roared and fell into a chant of "Flash, Flash, Flash." Despite the fact that she played for the away team, and that 2-point long-range shot had put them up by 15 over the home squad, the announcer went wild, an excited voice repeating, "Finley the Flash McGrath, folks. Finley McGrath." As if she'd reduced his vocabulary to those words alone. Cartier pointed to her, and she returned the gesture. Her blood hummed, and the cheers lit her up like the goalposts. This was what she was made to do. She waved toward the stands. Many fans wore the bright blue of her team, the Cobalt Cruisers, rather than the local squad's light green. Others waved hollow banners showing her face, her dark skin, and her wide, dimpled smile 3 times their actual size and slightly transparent, grinning down at herself from above. Always weird, and yet flattering at the same time. She zipped toward center court, where Cartier and 3 other teammates swarmed her, while Erickson, the goalkeeper, saluted from across the arena.
"That was epic!" Wicks crowed,
removing his helmet long enough to ruffle his curly blonde hair. Eliana slapped Finley's back hard enough to jolt her.
"Well done, kid."
Finley was too thrilled the play had worked to scowl at her mentor for the term the other woman loved to tease her with.
"Very impressive,"
Shiro saluted as Erickson had. Finley's face might burst from smiling. The ref bot whistled, indicating their celebration time was over. Still grinning, would this ever get old? Finley soared to her position as the bot launched the ball into the air again. The other team striker caught it and raced toward the goal, only to be cut off by Shiro, who bumped the man and knocked the ball loose. Wicks did a squat swing to scoop it from the ground and hurled it to Ileana. Finley almost pitied the opposing team. They were the best players this secondary colony had, and they were trying hard. But they were no match for the Cobalt Republic's A-League reigning champions. Still, since this was a friendly match, what mattered was the fans had fun. And Finley and her team got practice before the upcoming Galactic Cup tournament. She made loops around the large padded obstacles, watching for an opening to receive a pass. The arena lights flickered. Finley blinked, but when the light stabilized, she kept moving. The distraction gave her a clear path to catch a pass from Ileana and send the ball onto Cartier. He wove around a series of pillars, and she shot up the opposite sideline, parallel to him, using a switch spin to dodge a defender in her path. The lights dimmed again. The quality of arenas in colonies varied greatly. Some places they played had cracked obstacles, or crooked goals, or insufficient padding. But power had never been a problem. Surely that's all this was, right? The latest message she'd received flashed through her mind. No. Vague anonymous threats warning her to stop her video logs couldn't be tied to power failures in an arena. She raised a hand, preparing for Cartier's pass. Total darkness engulfed the court. Her stomach clenched, beyond the core strength needed to halt her board. The ball smacked her shoulder, and a thud indicated it landed nearby. A whistle echoed, shrill, from somewhere to her right. The sole illumination came from the board's hover cells. 12 pale blue-white glows spaced throughout the court. Finley swallowed. Colony World power sources. Not anonymous commenters.
Halt! Halt play! Shouted the human referee.
She wiped her face with her sleeve, shivering despite the layer of sweat and the temperature regulation fibers in her uniform. Emergency lighting flickered on from the goals and the edges of the arena, allowing her to see the other players. The stands remained in total darkness, like a giant shadow bubble engulfed her. Anyone could be up there. The coaches ran onto the padded floor, meeting the ref to confer. A yellow light flashed across her chest, the beam from the stands illuminating her body. It left spots in her vision and vanished so quickly she might have imagined it, but it sent a chill through her. Finley nudged her board toward a padded conical obstacle and edged around the side to put it between herself and the nearest section of spectators. The ref blew the whistle again, a four-note pattern that usually came from the ref bot to indicate the end of a match.
"We're calling it," the ref yelled.
The announcer's voice, on an amplifier, filled the arena.
"We're experiencing technical difficulties, everyone. The coaches have agreed to end the match early. Please remain calm and stay in your seats until backup power is restored."
Coach waved a come-here motion, and Finley flew toward him along with her teammates. Game energy and unease fizzed inside her, searching for an outlet after the abrupt ending. She wanted to zoom around the ring, do flips, throw a ball. Her muscles quivered. They formed a ring around Coach, exchanging frowns. From the height of her board, Coach seemed extra short as she looked down at his graying head and trim form.
"Sorry, everyone," he said. "But with only a few minutes left and the game decided, we agreed it was safer to stop. Don't want someone flying into an obstacle or a wall in a game that doesn't count."
Everyone sagged, but no one argued.
"Once power's back, head for the locker room. Good work today. McGrath, Cartier, that's going to make the highlight reels."
The praise and the anticipation overseeing her maneuver on video later failed to elicit the excitement they should have. Finley felt tense. Edgy, unfinished. They hovered, waiting, until running lights flickered on in the stands and in the tunnel leading from the court to the arena's interior. Voices rose as fans shuffled out. Normally, the team would take a victory lap, wave, pose for pictures. She loved that part, seeing smiling faces. But today, the mood was subdued, quiet. Finley sighed and followed her team toward the locker room. The familiar post-game rituals helped restore some normalcy as they stripped off their uniforms, pads, biomonitors, and mag boots, then showered, stretched, applied regenerative spray to muscles, drank electrolyte hydration packs.
"We'll wait to break everything down in tomorrow's meeting," Coach said. "That's enough excitement for today."
Wicks spread his arms.
"The joys of playing on secondary worlds."
"Some of us are from secondaries, rich boy," said Erickson.
"You have my sincere apologies," Wicks said,
with a grin that earned him an eye roll and a punch in the arm from the goalkeeper. As if secondary worlds were backwards places. The secondary Finley had grown up on had hardly been a wilderness relying on candles. And this planet wasn't a remote colony. It was more a retreat for wealthy primary residents to own second homes or retire somewhere beautiful. Wicks should know better. After the several planets they'd visited on this tour, and more the year before. And that was just since Finley had joined the team less than 2 years ago. Oh well, if team responsibilities didn't resume until tomorrow, it left more time for her other activities. Although, without knowing what caused the power problems, maybe that wasn't the best idea. But she'd committed to this task. Silver Spark was counting on her.
She refused to let vague threats and brief darkness stop her from her mission. She forced cheer into her voice.
Anyone want to go out with me?
Her missions were more challenging with a group, but it was more fun to explore with others. And since that had long been her habit, once she'd started using her outings for espionage-related activities, she had to continue inviting the others or people might get suspicious.
Cartier snorted, slicking dark hair away from his face. Are you filming again?
Of course.
I'll pass.
He grabbed his bag and his board. Shocking. Despite how well they played together on the court, off it was a different story. She might have been bitter, too, in his situation. He'd been the most talked-about athlete on the team before she came along. But that didn't mean she'd stop trying to win him over.
I've heard they're known for gourmet cheeses, she said. Don't you love cheese?
No, thanks, he laughed.
She huffed. Eventually, I'll find something he likes.
Well, I can't say no to cheese.
Wicks slung an arm around her shoulders.
I'll come. Besides, I never miss a chance to meet good-looking locals.
Me too. The coming along part. Wicks can have the good-looking locals. Erickson shrugged on a jacket over her muscular shoulders and wove her blonde hair into a braid.
Still seeing that mysterious man you won't let us meet?
Wicks wagged his eyebrows. Only an idiot would introduce someone to you before knowing the person was committed. You'd scare them off. Wicks released Finley and spread his arms.
I'm famous. People love me.
Not as much as you love yourself.
Yes, yes. We love you, Wicks, Finley said. And one day, I'm sure Erickson's not-at-all-fictitious boyfriend will, too.
Everyone laughed. Finley was the youngest on the team by a few years, and Ileana and Wicks were a decade older, but they usually treated her like an equal and a friend, and she was grateful. She looked at the others.
Ileana, Shiro, you coming?
Not today, Shiro said. It's the annual Harvest Day holiday on my home planet, and I have messages waiting from my family.
Ileana shook her head.
Me either. Going to spend extra time on my knee.
You didn't hurt it again, did you? Finley asked.
No, just being cautious.
Probably wise. Ileana had only recently returned to the court, and they'd need her fully recovered for the cup. Finley bounced on her toes.
Everyone ready?
They found the equipment manager and dropped off their uniforms for washing and their boards for a checkup. Though she trusted the woman who cared for their gear, Finley would go over her board later herself to make sure it remained in top condition. From her room in the suites attached to the arena, she grabbed her camera, a cube not much bigger than her fist that flew so she could capture the scenery and film herself talking. A wristband contained controls. She also pocketed the listening device from Silver Spark and double-checked the map of the city, confirming where her target was located, before joining the others in the hotel lobby. When they'd landed the day before and traveled from the small landing port into the city, she'd seen glimpses of the landscape. Towering snow-capped mountains, tall and spindly, thanks to the lower-than-average gravity. Rivers spanned by ornate bridges, a brilliant green valley, a crystal-blue lake, and a charming downtown with an old-world feel, dotted with majestic spires. She couldn't wait to inspect it up close, talk to the people who lived here. When they exited the hotel, fans lingered, cheering and waving. Finley waved back. Wicks did too, though Erickson settled for a nod. Finley scanned them. No one seemed out of place or threatening. No reason to be nervous, or suspect any of these people were responsible for the threats. It would be fine. They greeted the fans and posed for pictures. The arena behind them was built against a mountain and offered a beautiful backdrop. Did it make her prideful that she loved this part of her job? Not people telling her how great she was, just that her presence made people happy. Knowing her playing brought them joy, and she could brighten someone's day with something as simple as taking a holopic. Several fans complimented her maneuver, one of them showing her the video they'd taken of it. It looked impressive, her blue and black hair streaming as she somersaulted several feet above the ground. When they finally climbed into the waiting hover car, Finley said,
"Destination Old Town."
The auto-driving car zipped off. Reports about this city mentioned the district that was designed to incorporate the Cobalt Republic's love of art and sculpture. The area next to it contained the best food and shops, and it was a block from the chocolate store she was supposed to visit for her mission. Wix nudged her leg with his toe.
This is why I like exploring with you. No matter where we go, you know the best places.
She shrugged.
It's not hard to find. Plus, when people know where we're going to be, they usually send me suggestions.
And invitations. Mostly appropriate, but sometimes not. She appreciated the appropriate ones, though she regretted she couldn't visit every place people wanted her to see.
Their route led from the mountainside platform containing the large arena used for Grav Ball, but also for conventions and meetings for rich Cobalt business leaders, toward the heart of the city. Sleek, modern white buildings gave way to colorful stone and wood structures with gabled roofs. Enormous dark green trees and baskets of flowers gave it a charming quality. They crossed an arcing stone bridge over a wide rushing river. Above it all, snowy peaks gleamed in the sun. Once the car stopped and they were strolling down a paved sidewalk along the river, a row of wood and stone buildings with brightly colored doors, gables, and shutters behind them, Finley activated the camera cube and released it to fly above her.
"Get ready to smile or move," she told the others.
Wix positioned himself behind her, where the camera would pick him up, while Erickson's lips quirked as she moved to the other side of the street. Finley hit play.
"Hey, galactic friends. This is Finley McGrath coming to you from the city of Inzrik on the planet of Brixen. We finished our match, and it's time to see the sights. This is my first visit to Brixen, and I can't wait to see what we'll find. It's known for beautiful mountains, unique art, and quaint cities, and chocolate. So, it's a good thing we worked up an appetite during the game. A huge shout out to everyone who offered suggestions of what to see. We'll get to as many as we can."
She commanded the cube to hover by her head as they strolled. Later, she'd decide what footage to use. The air was crisp and cool, and offered a tangy scent when they passed enormous trees with spindly leaves. Her steps felt light, and she bounced slightly, thanks to the gravity. To their right, the river burbled and sang. Reflecting the Cobalt Republic's love for art, sculptures were everywhere. A school of rainbow-scaled fish leaped from the river, being pursued by a creature with purple tentacles. Tiny, glowing fairies hid in trees. Shrubs and flowers had been pruned into human shapes. Paintings of wormholes on the ground looked so real, she imagined stepping on one might send her plummeting through. Wix stopped to point at a sculpture of a snow monster, white and furry and scowling with a wrinkled face.
"That one looks like Coach when he's angry. Ha 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 ha!"
He bent over, laughing. He was not wrong. Finley snorted and brought the camera closer to record the statue.
"Please tell me you captured him saying that," Erickson said.
"Oh, I did, and it is 100% going in my video."
Erickson cackled. This was far different than the secondary colony neighborhood she'd grown up in, with its prefab buildings packed too close, the dirt, smoke from the factories, the charred forest outside town that was a remnant of too much ship exhaust. Many people waved, sneaked glances, or took holopics as they passed. Finley returned every smile and wave.
"Don't think about the threat. These people were friendly. The power outage wasn't a message or an omen. It had been malfunctioning tech, nothing more."
"Hey, it's the Flash.
Awesome goal today.
I love your show. Can I be on your show?"
She located the guy who'd asked the last question and summoned her camera.
"You really want to? Can I ask you about the planet and yourself and all that?"
"Absolutely."
"What's your name?"
"Graham."
"Great. Feel free to look at me or at the camera."
She had the cube move closer.
"Hey, viewers. I'm here with my new friend, Graham, who's going to tell us about this place."
She hoped. Sometimes people said they would, and then asked her on a date instead. The joy of meeting new people. You never knew what might happen.
"So, how long have you lived here, and what do you do?"
Graham smiled easily, focused on her rather than the camera.
"I moved here as a kid. I run an outdoor tour company, taking people into the mountains. Hiking, ski boarding, hovermobiles."
"Wow, I might have to stay longer. That sounds amazing. I'd love to see more of this place. The views are incredible. Do you ever get used to it?"
"Nope. I am a lucky man."
He turned to the camera.
and Flash's viewers. Look me up if you want the best mountain tours on Brixen. You'll see ice bats and snow beasts, glaciers and hidden lakes, all with the planet's most charming guide.
He winked. Finley laughed and shook her head. But he'd proved willing to talk. Time to steer the conversation toward her other purpose for being here.
My viewers surely can't argue with that. So, Graham, this planet is peaceful compared to many places we've been recently.
Oh, yes. No troops, no embargoes, no riots. It's the best place in the galaxy.
Not surprising. This place was well off, with many connections to the primary that meant it received favorable terms. These people had little reason to involve themselves in the revolution brewing elsewhere. She was happy for them, but on other planets they'd visited, people would love to feel this safe and have this much luxury.
Is there anything you, or the people here in general, want the galaxy to know about your city or your planet? She asked.
Please come visit. We love guests, and it's safe and beautiful.
His comments were out of touch, given current politics. Many of her viewers couldn't leave their planets if they wanted to, but she didn't judge. She showed the galaxy each person's perspective, without adding her own opinions.
Thanks, Graham. Good luck with those tours. We're off to gorge ourselves on that famous chocolate.
They moved on, Erickson strolling quietly with her earbuds in, Wix bounding from place to place, person to person. They crossed a completely transparent pedestrian bridge over a narrow creek and discovered a row of small, quaint shops, each painted a different bright color. Her thoughts flashed to Micah. He would have loved this city. It wasn't quite like the wormholes he obsessed over, but the colors, the architecture, would have fascinated him. As she did at least weekly for the last 2 years, if not daily since they stopped talking, she wished she could share it with him. Would this inspire him to make a sculpture? If he still did that, she hoped he did. But based on their final argument, she wasn't sure. The not knowing something about him, or even where he was now, sent one of those melancholy vibrations through her. No, those days were over. No matter how much it carved an empty place in her chest, she needed to stop thinking about him. As if that effort was likely to succeed. She and her teammates sampled tiny cups of pitch-black tea and bite-sized cheese wheels. Cartier was missing out. Then they moved on to chocolates. The best chocolates she had ever tasted. Ones that melted the instant they hit her tongue. Ones that hit centers with explosions of fruit, or gooey caramel, or nuts. Ones she couldn't even identify. Wix moaned.
I'm going to marry this chocolate.
I doubt it will have you, Erickson said. Not when I plan to propose first.
Ooh, should I tell Mystery Man you're cheating on him?
I'll tell him myself. Erickson licked her fingers.
I hope Doc has stomach ache meds, Finley said, because I plan to eat 3 pounds of this.
All normal discipline of limiting her sugar intake and watching her diet fled. When they couldn't eat another bite, she and Wix tried on colorful scarves and furry hats at an outdoor stall. They posed for more pictures with fans, and she filmed it all. She loved it. But now it was time to stop sightseeing and focus on her mission. Her videos had started as her recording herself when she moved to Cobalt 3 years earlier. Colony Girl makes it big, all that good stuff. Behind the scenes of her first A-League season, her first tour to other planets, exploring and meeting the locals. But a couple months ago, the infamous hacker called Silver Spark had released files exposing a revolutionary group known as the Obsidian Force that was stirring up trouble in the galaxy. On many of those amazing planets she'd visited. Ever since, Finley had wanted to do more. The mysterious hacker seemed to be on the same side as Finley in the galaxy's brewing conflict, which wasn't technically a side. Those who wanted change, but also wanted peace, who cared more about people than politics. Despite the opportunity the Cobalt Republic had given her, and the fact that her parents and older sisters now lived on the primary planet with her, her loyalty to the Empire wasn't unwavering. She sympathized with colonies wanting freedoms, since she'd grown up on a secondary world and had now seen life in many other places as well. But she didn't approve of the Obsidian Force's tactics. Kidnapping, causing riots, massing warships, working with pirates. So now, Finley filmed her customary videos, but she also completed missions from the Hacker, told Silver Spark of worlds where people murmured about revolt, reported which planets had violence, and which were blockaded and needed basic supplies, and investigated leads when the Hacker needed boots on the ground. She had to admit, she liked the thrill, the excitement, and it was using her position to help. If the Cobalt Republic found out, she wasn't sure what would happen. She was trying to stop terrorists, but the Hacker's group also smuggled supplies to blockaded planets, circumvented communication blackouts, and spied on citizens. Since Finley wore a Cobalt jersey and represented the Republic, they'd probably prefer she followed their laws. Would she receive a reprimand? Get kicked off the team? Get arrested? She wasn't entirely sure. But if she could protect or help people, the risk was worth it. There, a tiny red door nestled between two shops that said Gourmet Chocolate in handwritten letters. The small window displayed more tantalizing candies. She fingered the item in her pocket, glanced at her teammates, who were tasting pastries, shut off her camera, and ducked through the door to the chime of an old brass bell. The shop was dark, rich with a sugary scent. Display cases showed chocolates, not unlike the others at various shops throughout town. If she hadn't already eaten so many, she might have gotten distracted from her mission. Finley wandered slowly, pretending to study the candy while seeking a place to hide the bug. Hello, she called to the worker, a middle-aged man with large sideburns and a mustache the size of a small rodent. Are you the owner? How do you make these? She could at least learn about the person she was spying on.
I am. I make them by hand, same as I learned from my mother.
Wow, really? How long does that take?
Several hours for a batch.
Wouldn't automation be easier?
Yes, but anyone can do that. This is art.
She leaned on the counter and studied the hand-decorated truffles, each with a unique design. That's amazing. You should sell these on Cobalt. I've never seen anything like them, he grunted.
Easier said than done.
Finley blinked, tore her gaze from the case. The man was scowling now. Remember the mission. Bitterness over export laws offered a motive for him to desire change. She didn't like distrusting people, would prefer to simply hear his story, but she had a job to do.
I'll take a box of assorted, a large one.
In case he wasn't Obsidian Force, she'd make up for spying by supporting his business. While he boxed up her order, she dropped her bag, knelt to retrieve it, and used the opportunity to attach the tiny device to the bottom of the counter. The bug would transmit to Silver Spark's hidden location, and let the Hacker know if this guy was using his shop for anything questionable. The man handed her the box she planned to take to the rest of her team, and used to bribe Cartier into being nice. She thanked him and slipped out, heart racing, skin tingling with the thrill of pulling off another job. With a spring in her step, and a hope that the candy maker was not, in fact, a budding terrorist, she rejoined the others. They continued on, Wicks and Erickson none the wiser. The street opened into a large square with cobblestones beneath. An elaborate stone fountain shaped like a castle spurted water. Performers in ornate costumes enacted scenes from a popular historic playwright. Music from a variety of instruments filled the air, and everywhere were sculptures, evenly spaced, each one unique. Geometric shapes, nature, people, in every color, of metal or glass or stone or marble. Micah's sculptures could have been displayed in places like this, if he'd taken that route. His were better than all of these. Someone in a dragon costume and mask raced toward them. She waited, smiling, ready to greet a fan. But the person showed no signs of slowing. They barreled straight for her, and she caught a glint of metal charged with energy.
Plasma knife.
Finley twisted at the last second. A slice of fire shot through her side. She stumbled away from the person. He hurled an object to the ground, Stone exploded. Smoke billowed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?